In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says this: when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. And there's six words here, I think, or seven. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Nine words. When the Holy Spirit has our life in his hands, this is what we can expect. This is what he will do inside all of us. If you've allowed the Holy Spirit and invite Jesus into your life, the Spirit comes with him, and all of a sudden we have the presence of God in our life that we didn't even realize was possible. And when we do that, it produces in us love, joy. We're going to stop there. The psalmist said in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Hebrews 12, 2 says this: because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Because of joy. Joy is very different than happiness. While closely related, happiness is often considered a more fleeting emotion tied to external circumstances. It's like receiving a gift. While joy is a deeper, more lasting feeling that comes from something within, given to you by Jesus himself through the Spirit, often associated with a sense of contentment and satisfaction with life overall. In other words, joyful people can suffer through the worst kind of circumstances and they'll be okay. It's not pleasant when it happens. But people of joy, real joy, the Jesus kind of joy, people of joy will make it through whatever they've got to face. And we won't lose our joy for God. We'll lean on him, we'll depend on him to guide us through whatever storm we have to go through at this particular time. Where you can be in a storm and be very unhappy. I would be unhappy too, but I can still be joyful. So you begin, I need you to see the difference between the two words. Happiness depends on external factors. When we hear a favorite joke, we laugh. When someone gives a gift, we grin. When we hear our favorite song, we dance or smile. When I was growing up and as a kid in church, you didn't get to dance at all, or you were, you know, you had a ticket to the other place, and and you would be removed from the church if you danced. Now, my brother and I were very ornery preacher's kids, and we decided one night to, my brother's the smart one. He's truly smart, and he raised the garage door, and we had a dance in our house, and all the neighbors saw the pastor's kids having a dance at the preacher's house, and so they still loved us, and everything went well. So anyway, so you dance, you sing, you rejoice, because there's joy. It's joy. It's happiness on steroids, in other words. And even though we may seek it, desire it, and pursue it, feeling happy is not a choice we make. Joy, on the other hand, is a choice that we purposely make. Even if our day-to-day life is filled with hurt and disappointment, we can still choose joy. And for the one who's planted firmly in God's word and following Jesus, it's a short putt. Joy can share space with other emotions such as sadness and fear, but happiness can't. Happiness isn't present in darkness and difficulty, but joy can be if we will choose joy. It can transform our difficult times actually into something we're going to learn that we've never learned any other way. But joy can be, if we choose joy, it can transform those difficult times in blessings and heartache into gratitude. And I'm sure you all can, many of you could, I certainly can, think of times when it seemed just like a disaster. In a family part, it can be a disaster in a family. It can be a difficult moment with one of your kids. It can be a divorce. It can be all kinds of things. And those are difficult times. But even then, we know that God's at work, and we may not look to be giddy and happy and all that, but we are still joyful. We can be joyful, and if you choose to be joyful, that really helps get through whatever you got to go through much more tolerable. Now, let's talk about happiness and joy in the Bible. Did you know that happiness only appears in the Bible between 10 and 30 times, depending on which version you're reading, which translation you're reading? 10 to 30 times the word happiness appears. Joy, on the other hand, appears hundreds of times through the Old and New Testaments. God wants us to have a life-giving joy that lasts instead of a temporary happiness that fades. And I just want to be sure you know the difference between the two words. Here's some examples in the Bible that show us the power of joy. First one is Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Second verse, John 15, 11. This is Jesus talking. These things I've spoken to you, so you may have my joy, and may it remain in you, and that your joy will be full. Number three, Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Find that several places. Another one, James 1, 2. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now that is hard to do, but it's doable. And for the believer, the follower of Christ, we're given the ability to be joyful even in the worst moments. We're certainly going to learn something we'd rather not learn, but we're going to learn what real joy is, especially when you get on the other side of difficult times. And you can look back and say, that was really awful at first, but I learned so much because of it. I gained some insights I did not have. I'm thankful that God put me through that because of what I learned coming through it, because of what I found out about God coming through it. We tend to shut God out the minute it didn't go our way. And maybe you can be happy and not be happy, but let me tell you, if you are a believer following Jesus, joy is permanent. It's a choice many times, but if you have it planted in your heart through Christ, you're going to be a more joyful person in the worst of times. Kay Warren, Rick Warren's wife, said this: joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of every detail in my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in all things. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of every detail of life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in all things. Now, a few minutes ago, I read Hebrews 12, 2. Because of the joy awaiting him, Jesus endured the cross. Now, stop for a minute and think about this. I'm not even sure how to illustrate this, because it's almost like saying, hey, there's this canyon right here, and there's not really any way down into it or out of it. And I'm not even sure you'll make it. But if you go through that on the other side, look what's over there waiting for you. And it's really good. And you're going to really be glad you took the journey. But again, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be dark. My wife and some other ladies in the church here ran the rim to rim in Grand Canyon. It's not a race. It's a run. I've never done either, but I feel like it's, in my case, it's bad for me. So, but I was following her. Thankfully, I could follow Kim because I like to worry. I choose worry sometimes over joy, but not much. So I'm watching her on my phone, watching, make sure it's moving. And then if it stops moving, I'm going, okay, what's going on? Is she okay? And she was. All the girls made it through. Hebrews 12, 2. Jesus says, there's a lot of joy coming to me over there. And I've got to take a terrible journey to get to where that joy is going to be. Because of the joy awaiting Jesus, he endured the cross to give us joy. Remember that. To be the last sacrificial lamb needed, because his blood will be spilled once and for all, and we're forgiven. Because of the joy on the other side of this unbelievable, difficult, tragic moment in some ways. He endured the cross because of the joy waiting for him on the other side of it. He endured the cross, nails through his hands, nails through his feet, a spear through his side, thorns pressed into his skull, and basically bled to death. People spitting on him and mocking him the whole way. They said, oh, you say you're God, get yourself off the cross. Come on, you can do it. But Jesus, see, he's thinking about the joy on the other side. It's amazing what he's done for us, what he did for us, what he continues to do for us. But look what he had to go through to bring it to us. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. And we now, in whatever trial we may find ourselves in, can be joyful through Christ in the darkest, most difficult moments of our life. And most of us have been there in some way, at some level, at some point. As I was looking, studying for this message on joy, I was doing some reading, and a pastor was being interviewed who had retired. And he was asked by another pastor, now that you're retired, what would you do differently if you could do it over again? Now, most pastors are going to go, where do I start? You know, I would try to help people forget the things I said and did that really weren't very good. So the pastor answered him, well, if I could do it over again, I know one thing for sure that I would do. He said, I'd go back and I'd change one thing. I would read the Bible to the people more frequently from the stage. So guess what happened to me? I thought, I need to do that. So as best I know how, I've written mostly a paraphrase. I'm not going to read every little sentence, but I'm going to read to you the book of Philippians, because Philippians is called the book of joy. So you're going to hear the word quite a bit. And here we go. So as we learned these last few weeks about hope, peace, joy, next week's love. So I'm going to read this paraphrase of all four chapters of Philippians. You want to close your eyes and listen. You may want to look, just keep looking at me or whatever it takes for you to let these words sink in. Now, this is a paraphrase, remember. And I'm not covering all the details or we'd be here all afternoon. And I decided late last night not to read the entire book of Philippians because it would mess up all our schedules. So, you know, heaven forbid we let the Bible mess up our schedules. That's another sermon. Here we go. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God, constantly praying with joy in all of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing of the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm confident of this. He, the one who began a good work among you, will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. And it is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart, for all of you sharing God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Oh, I forgot a big detail. He's writing all this stuff about joy being in prison for doing nothing wrong, for following Jesus, for preaching about Jesus. That's why he's in prison. And he wrote the book that we now call the Book of Joy. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and with full insight to help you determine his best, so that on the day of Jesus, you will be pure and blameless, having produced a harvest of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation from love, if there's any sharing in the Spirit, if there's any compassion or sympathy, then make my joy complete, being of the same mind and the same love, being in full accord and one mind, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but to the interests of others. And let the same mind of Christ be in you, who though he was in the form of God, didn't consider equality with God something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, took on the form of a slave in human likeness, and being born in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Remember, for the joy set before him. And therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but more now in my absence, work at your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, enabling you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling. That deserves a repeat. Church, do all things without grumbling. Now, frankly, for those of you online watching us from far away, this is one of the most peaceful churches I can imagine. It's just awesome to work in this place. Our staff loves the people here because you all are very gracious and kind. I mean that sincerely. Don't do all the things without grumbling and arguing, which you do well. And as you can be blameless and innocent as children of God in the midst of a crooked and warped generation in which you will shine like stars in the universe, yet whatever gains I have, I've come to regard them as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as waste in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of God based on, not having a righteousness of my own, but the righteousness of God based on faith, because you've heard this one before, because I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing in his sufferings in order that I might become like him in his death, in order that I might share in that. Not that I've already attained it or I've already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And so, rejoice always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all, for the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will stand guard in your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is anything that is excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things you've heard and seen me do, and you've learned and received from me, and the God of peace will be with you. That is Philippians in a nutshell. When I mentioned a bit ago about an angel appearing to the shepherd said, don't be afraid, because I'm bringing you joy. You need to realize that this Christmas. It doesn't mean I'm bringing you happiness, yeah. But happiness can come and go. You can be very unhappy on any given day, but still have a joy in you for Jesus Christ. Because you've trusted him in the past and he got you through it. And you have no doubt he'll get you through it again, whatever it may be. Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy would be full." A quote Ron Mell probably every Christmas. He's written many good books, but his book at Christmas time is especially meaningful, and I go back through it every Christmas. But he makes a phrase in there, I've probably shared it, I don't know, for 20 years, but it's worth saying again. Love found a way to bring us joy. A joy that comes not from what we have, but from who has us. But from who has us. And the greatest gift I could possibly offer to you this Christmas is to give a chance to Jesus Christ to have you. He wants you. He's paid a high price to tell you that you're free, that your sins will not be held against you, that you can be loved unconditionally. I'd love you to have that. Love found a way to bring us joy, a joy that comes not from what we have, but from who has us. In a moment, I'm going to close our service with prayer. And as I close, everybody in our various rooms will be leaving the room. And if you would like to come toward the front of your room, the pastors and prayer teams will be across the front of every room, willing and ready to pray for you about whatever's on your mind. And as I say every Sunday, it may have nothing to do with what I've talked about today. But maybe you are ready. Say, you know what, whatever it takes, help me understand what it looks like for Jesus to have me. We'd love to tell you that story. After I pray, you feel the freedom to let us pray for you in anything that's on your mind at all, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for loving us, for giving us example after example, picture after picture of what your love is like. And Father, for those of us who chose to follow you, particularly those of us that have followed for a while, no one can take away our faith because we discovered how real it is, how impossible it is. God, you keep doing things for our church we don't even ask you for. But we receive it. We know where it came from. There's no human negotiation that took place. We didn't chase it. And yet you continually, over and over, give us things. Clinic, a church in Mayfair, land. You keep giving us things in our church with so many wonderful, unique, different kinds of people, where we can be reminded that we all may be very, very different, and we are, that we are one in Christ. We thank you for those brave enough to deal with the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that are destroying their lives. Thank you for the hundreds that have made it through that journey and come out on the other side with a new level of joy they never knew possible. So Father, today, we thank you for days that were happy. Father, I pray we would never settle for just that. I pray you would encourage every one of us to find true joy in you. And only then will we know that we're following one who loves us unlike anyone else could or would ever love us. We say this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen and amen.